ahead and get started. I know some people are still coming in, but I'm going to give Josh plenty of time to talk. First of all, I want to apologize. I realized today that I never sent out the readings for tonight or the recap, and I apologize. I'm not totally on it, but I'm more on it than I was the week before Easter, so I apologize. My Easter brain has faded, and I'm back to normal. But I will try to get tonight's lesson out tomorrow, so you'll have the reading. So many apologies. Thanks for the grace. Let's start with a prayer. In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for everybody here. Thank you for the hands that put dinner together, which looks so yummy. And we ask that you open the hearts and minds of everyone here. Be with Josh as he presents to us, and send your spirit to help him know just what to say. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There are some handouts in the back. And we had 14 new Catholics come in, so yay for that. It was pretty exciting. Yeah. Busy weekend. Journey continues. So I'm
going to
hand it over to Josh now.
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me? Is anybody here that was baptized past Easter Vigil?
They're out of here.
Skip down on us. All right. That's fine. So if you don't know, my name is Josh. I'm a somewhat recent convert out of the church. I came in 2 years ago, I think, this time. Yeah. Back when it was called RCIA. Happy to be teaching and sharing the gospel with everybody here. So, first off, something I wanted to talk about. The last time we were together was before Easter, so that's almost a month ago, I believe, right?
Is it that long?
I think so.
Wow, it's been a long time.
February 24th.
Yeah, so it's been a while. So,
March.
As you can imagine, there's a few things happened in the news recently that probably concerns all of us here, especially with, being here in the Catholic Church and coming here to learn about the Catholic faith. Something I wanted to just address really quickly, when we come up here as teachers, there's a trust relationship where you guys are here trusting us as teachers to be honest and to teach you the official teachings and doctrines of the Catholic Church, and not to give you our opinions or our interpretations or our personal views. And so I wanted to honor that. So while I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of difficult questions about all the things going on in social media, all the different world events, I did want to give you some resources that might help you in finding answers to those questions that can be found in official church doctrine, official church documents. So if you guys are having questions, I prefer, just because these topics can devolve really quickly into personal opinions, and I don't want anyone to misrepresent the church. So if you have questions, please reference some of these resources. I'll explain these in a second. Rather than necessarily starting, debates and arguments and things that might steer us away from really the goal of what we are trying to address today. So this is CCC, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which, if you have not seen it, it is this big, fat, blue book. It comes in a couple of other different, shapes and sizes. This is more or less the entirety of the teachings and doctrine and the Catholic Church, including some modern social doctrine, social theory, kind of compressed into one book that you can look up different resources on. They have these in the library, so you can reference it if you want to. I'm also going to leave my copy up here at the end. If you guys want to take a look at it, you can.
If you want one, let me know.
If you want one, I'm happy to provide you with one. So today's going to today's topic, something you might want to look up on your own, which would be great, is social justice, which is on page... Now, normally, the catechism is broken up into, like, paragraphs and paragraph numbers. I'm just going to give you page numbers. It's easier. So the topic of social justice is on page 468. You can come up later and take a picture of this if you want. The teaching on social doctrine of the church, which, again, will be relevant to today's discussion, page 581. When it comes to authority, particularly civil authority, page 463...
Is that a page number?
It's a page number, sorry.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so I think they're supposed to be paragraphs, but instead of doing like 2,309 through 2,000, you know, it's easier just to give you a page number. And that's page numbers that correspond to this book in particular. So authorities and civil society is 539. Safeguarding peace is 554. And then theory of just war is 556. So if you want to know what the official, you know, Catholic position is and all these major topics in the news right now and on social media, right here is where you can find the official answers. And I encourage you to seek those out instead of, you know, trying to pry different people's personal opinions and things.
If you want, after class, if you want to send me like the paragraphs in case they get a different version,
yeah,
and then I'll send that out with the recap. I'll send it like a list of it with the page numbers from him and then the paragraphs. So,
yeah. And if you want to dive into a much more deeper in-depth discussion on all of that, we do have a talk that's coming up here locally called Just War of the Modern World. That's happening on May 7th at 7 p.m. at the St. Catherine of Siena Newman Center. There is...
that's at the university.
Yeah, I believe there's a Dominican? That's
yeah,
Dominican.
Dominican.
It's going to be talking on that. So if you want to go there, you can ask questions. I'm sure they'd love to get more in depth on that. But I am just frankly not equipped to properly answer all these questions without making everyone really mad. And frankly, my personal opinions don't matter. I'm not here to represent myself. I'm here to represent this ultimately and try to teach you guys what the official position is on doctrine. So thank you guys for that. And we can get into today's actual topic. I'm just going to turn this around. I'm too dumb to understand the whole flipping thing, so I'm just going to literally turn it around.
I figured it out, and I still don't know how to do it.
I know, and I didn't want to erase it, so. Okay. So since Kira did not send out the readings, it's nice for me because now everything's fresh. So today we are discussing, again, a bit of a sensitive topic, social justice and works of mercy. So a few years ago, about maybe 3 years ago, when I was sitting in these same chairs and we were having this discussion, I heard social justice and then click. Kind of just shut out. And because a lot of these words that we're going to be using today in terms can be really overloaded. There's a lot of modern connotations to them. And a lot of us have maybe some preconceived notions of what particular words mean. Things like the word social justice can be really loaded. So I'm going to ask you for a little bit of grace and maybe a little bit of an open mind, and we're going to discuss pretty on the surface. We're not going super deep here, but on the surface of what these terms mean to us, not necessarily how the world sees it, but how we see it, and more importantly, how the church sees it. So if you'll keep an open mind, hopefully together we can have a really good discussion and hopefully learn a few things. So don't be like me. Don't shut off your brain and say, I don't even know that. I'm actually happy I got to teach this because, you know, maybe I wasn't as open-minded as I should have been when I first heard it. So let's talk about, I have the whiteboard because I can't stand PowerPoint. It's just death by PowerPoint, but not for me. Unfortunately, as you saw on the other side of the page, you all have to suffer through my horrendous writing. I'm a software engineer. I type. I don't do that. I could be a doctor, though, with my handwriting. So let's talk about something we are all probably familiar with, a first aid kit. Many of us have this in our car, maybe right now, in our trunks, in our medicine cabinets at home, or if we go on camping trips or hikes, we always tend to carry a med kit. Just throw out some ideas of what are some things that you would probably find in a med kit.
Band-aids,
yes.
Gauze.
Emergency blanket,
that's a good one.
Gloves.
Alcohol.
Scissors.
Not for drinking, be nature.
Candy.
Actually, no, I'm
keep
glad.
Your blood sugar up.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, for blood sugar. Also, sometimes when kids get hurt, that can kind of help them out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. What other things?
Water,
that can be great.
Tylenol?
Super glue. Tylenol, yeah. Maybe you want to be careful about who you give Tylenol to.
Cardoso.
Yeah. Scissors. Scissors, very important as well. So we have all these physical tools in a first aid kit, but if someone gets hurt and you just chuck a first aid kit at them, it's probably not going to work. They're going to, you know, especially if they're injured, they can't really help themselves at the moment because maybe they're trying to, you know, hold their knee or they're injured. Then someone has to help them, right, with all of these first aid supplies. So what are some of the maybe soft skills that someone who's going to be applying first aid might need? Or even hard skills knowing with, like, talking about gauze, right? How to apply gauze, where to apply gauze, when to use it.
Stop blood flow,
tourniquet, exactly. And then there's also maybe a few other things you might want to consider, which is bedside manner. Not necessarily someone might be dying, but learning how to calm someone down. A lot of times people get injured, they can go into shock. So knowing how to see things from their perspective and treat them how maybe you would want to be treated in that situation and say, hey, everything's going to be okay. Let me help you out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We're going to call maybe someone that knows better than I do, but for now I'm going to do what I can to help you. And so and a good example of that, especially talking with kids, a little while ago, my daughter, who is, she was 7 at the time, accidentally slipped while they were making pancakes on the big griddle on the kitchen table, and she burned her hands really badly. I was really sad. And so we took her to the hospital, and the nurses were fantastic, the staff's fantastic. They brought her in, they got her all taken care of with, you know, all the right gels and gauze and everything to cool that down. But more importantly than even just that is that they were able to talk to her and provide her with really enriching distractions and entertainment and toys and things that can help maybe make the hospital seem less scary and can make things seem a little more friendly, a little more accepting, and not so clinical and cold. And so the reason for all these analogies is to bring back all these things to works of mercy, what the church calls works of mercy. And so we have two kinds of works of mercy. Sorry about the handwriting. There's the corporal works of mercy and spiritual. My dad always liked to joke that it was spiritual with the CH, not spiritual. So, corporal, kind of like Corpus Christi, corporal means body or bodily things. Spiritual, of course, spiritual things. So when we go back to our first aid kit example, the things like the bandages and the scissors and the alcohol or the Tylenol, these are you know, bodily things that we certainly need in order to help someone, right? There are certain things that people need that are, you know, temporal or of this world and corporal, things to help their body. But there are also things that people need edification of the spirit. Talk about things like the bedside manner, knowledge of how to apply these medical kits and these medical devices, how to apply the bandages, how to stop blood flow. And that comes more down to the spiritual care and works of mercy that we use. So let's talk about some of these more specific examples. And by the way, and going back to the readings, there are some really good references in this book. This is a really good guide on what the corporal and spiritual works of mercy are. In my opinion, I really love the writings in this on those references I gave on the works of mercy. This is a good guide. This is a little more official. So they really go hand in hand, and you can reference that as well. So, just an idea, what are some maybe bodily things, physical things that people might need, you know, from us? You know, people that might have a few things and we can probably help out. Just like you would help someone that, you know, maybe got a skinned knee or broken arm. What are some things that we can do for people physically? Just brainstorming.
Food.
Food? In fact, that's the first one. It says feeding the hungry. So, yep. So,
can we write them up there for you?
Yeah, please do, because we don't need to suffer through this, and I don't need this public humiliation.
I'm not sure mine's better, but...
Oh, it can't be worse. My kids are way better than me in their handwriting. It's sad. Okay, so feeding the hungry, that's a really good one. The text says, support and volunteer, these are things you can do, support and volunteer for food pantries, soup kitchens, agencies that feed the hungry, even hand out food to people in your area, and all of those in need, right? So we actually have a food pantry up in St. Andrews, and we work with them with our hygiene pantry to give food to those who need it. In fact, my family and I, when we were really down on our luck for a long time, we actually used the food pantry up in St. Andrews long before I was ever Catholic, and they really helped us out. So when you guys donate food there, it goes to help people in our community. It even helped me and my kids when we were really down and out. So that is really important. And something else I wanted to think about with the... Oh man, Corporal, can you rewrite that? It's so embarrassing. Okay. When it comes to works of mercy, it's really a two-way street. Because sometimes we have ability to help people. Sometimes we're the ones, you know, in our example, that fell down and got hurt, right? And I've been on both sides of this equation through my life. I've, you know, been in a situation where I could help other people and I had resources. I've been in situations where I was literally living in the unfinished basement of a friend's house, me and my whole family, we had nothing. So I've been personally on both sides of this equation. I think we all at times find ourselves on both sides of this equation of people who need help and people who can give help. So it's important to remember that in addition to giving, we also need to be receptive potentially to receiving. So we had feed the hungry. Any other ideas?
Drink.
Yeah, drink. Yeah, that would probably go with feeding the hungry.
Isn't there a good place to drink?
You can go slash drink thirsty. You always said the homeless guy and things that like meat, beer, right? Any other ideas?
Donate clothing.
Clothing, yep. We can clothe the homeless.
Clothe
the naked, yep.
Shelter.
Shelter, yep, shelter. You guys are knocking these things out. Yeah, the second one, in fact, is sheltering the homeless, which can be, you know, help neighbors to care for their homes, do repair, support, and volunteer at a homeless shelter. For instance, in my example, where I actually received this, sheltering the homeless, when we were moving from South Dakota to New York back in 2001, due to a crazy accident, our moving truck ultimately exploded, literally. We lost everything.
Holy smokes.
Hey, it's fine. It's like over 20 years ago. We're okay. everyone was fine. But we lost everything in this move. And when we got to New York, the people that were there, former friends, well, friends from when we had previously lived there, friends, acquaintances, people in the local church donated a bunch of stuff for us so that we could get back on our feet. That's also when we lived in our friend's basement, unfinished basement. When it comes to sheltering the homeless, sometimes it really can be just a friend that really needs help. It doesn't always necessarily have to be a beggar on the street, although they certainly need our help. Sheltering the homeless can take a lot of different perspectives. It's not always necessarily the obvious. Sometimes it can be a person in need that needs feed the hungry and shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, all those things. All right, more ideas?
Medical care.
Medical care, yeah. Anything else? You can write that.
Visiting and prison.
What?
Visiting prisons.
Visiting, yeah. Hey, wait, you got cheat sheet. So there is visiting in prison. And here's another really great example. So, yes, we literally should be visiting maybe friends, family, even taking care of strangers maybe in prison. But there are other forms of prison, too, that we find ourselves in from time to time. That can be a prison of loneliness, particularly like during the COVID situation. Can be in prison for like the elderly that maybe don't get visitors and feel kind of trapped. Those that need outreach, maybe need a friend, and they can feel imprisoned by that kind of loneliness. That's another example of where we can reach out to someone and be that Christ-like figure to them in that moment. Other examples? By the way, I'm no genius. This is all in the book. So. Other examples? How's it going? Okay. So there's visiting the sick, which I think we may have touched on that, which is not just visiting the sick of those who might be in the hospital, but also those who might be homebound, those in hospice care. If we have relatives that are maybe not doing so well, A visit can really mean a lot. There's one interesting one here is burying the dead, which you know can be being faithful about attending wakes, attending to the needs of families that may be suffering, being there for someone that maybe doesn't have a lot of friends. Then also the last one is giving alms to the poor. So that can be, sometimes just straight up financial help can help people. And so, and there are numerous ways you can do this. It can sometimes be very personal. It can also be through donations, through charities. Keep in mind, not all charities are charitable. So be cautious about where you donate. Make sure that it's, you know where the money's being used. And so that they're being responsible with the funds that are entrusted to them. But giving to charities can be really important as well. Okay.
Can I say something real quick?
Yep.
You do all these as a parent. Like you feed the hungry, you give them drink, medical care, clothe the naked. That happens a lot in my house. Shelter the homeless. They live there. Visiting the prison, visiting the sick, burying the goldfish, flushing it down the drain, and giving they need money.
I love that.
If you're a parent, you've done them all.
For the recording, if they couldn't hear, Kira mentioned that all these corporal works of mercy we do as a parent as well. Which makes sense, because as Jesus said, "In His I have loved you, so you should love one another." God, being our Father, takes care of us, and we take care of others too. So, yep, now going on to spiritual. If you want to rewrite that, that'd be really great. I can't even draw a straight line. Okay. So, when it comes to spiritual works of mercy, do we have any ideas of what that might entail?
Praying vows.
Sorry?
Praying
vows. Wait, so was that waiting?
Praying.
Praying, yes, absolutely. Prayer can be extremely efficacious, is the word they like to use. Anything else? So this one can be a little more challenging. So let me give you a few good ideas here. So there's instructing, which can be instructing people that maybe are looking for answers, looking for guidance, and helping people understand the gospel, what it means, what it doesn't mean, and how it can help people in their lives. Which, going along with instructing, also is advising.
Mentorship.
And being courageous, yet also compassionate. We are called to declare truth. Doesn't mean you need to scream it in someone's face. There's ways to, just like being a parent, paternally guide someone towards the truth. There's similar to visiting the sick, there's also consoling. Okay?
Listening to people?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Listening, consoling, not just listening to respond, but listening because they want to be heard. Right? Difficult for me to do with my wife. Sometimes she doesn't want to fix, she just wants to hear. But so consoling, listening. I'm surprised you can spell all these. I would need to look it up.
I'm doubtful about consoling. I think it's right.
So we're instructed to strive to be optimistic and to avoid cynicism. We're commanded to have hope and to help inspire hope in others. Being comforting can go along with that too. Listening to comforting. Helping others that are going through painful times, and being encouraging of them, and letting them know that that they're not suffering alone. If you guys have ever read the story of Job, is anyone, maybe you're familiar with the story of Job? So after all of these these awful things are happening to Job, one of the best things that his friends do is they sit with him for a whole week, for 7 days. They're not telling him, "Oh, what have you done wrong? What's why is this happening to you? You should have done this. You should have done that." They just sit with him and are just there to comfort him. Now later on they do that, and that's not so good. But initially, they sit with him for seven days and just and have all of these consoling, listening, comforting, and sometimes that can really go a long way. Just like when we engage in prayer, a lot of times we want to be heard. And be comforted by God, and just know that we're not suffering on our own. Okay, and here's a difficult one: forgiving. We are commanded to forgive, as the scripture says, even 70 times 7. So, being forgiving towards others As well as learning how to receive forgiveness. Sometimes when we make mistakes and people forgive us, we just beat ourselves up about it. And just as important as forgiving others is learning how to forgive ourselves and receive forgiveness from others too. And then the last one they have listed here is bearing wrongs patiently. Man, that's hard. Striving to be less critical of others, overlook minor flaws and mistakes, like my handwriting, give people the benefit of the doubt, and assume that people who may have hurt you did so because they are enduring pain of their own, and pray for those who have wronged you. Again, super hard to do, but can really be transformative and can be healing for yourself. And it can be really exhausting, always being offended all the time and looking for wrongs in others. And so giving that spiritual work of mercy, it's not only merciful to them, it's also merciful to yourself. And so there's a good quote here in the book that I wanted to read too. It said, "The goal of all the works of mercy is to bring about a transformation in society, a transformation that reflects how God intends for us to live with one another."
All right, how are we on time? All right, I got about 15 minutes. Okay, so these are the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, and you can hopefully see how many of these go hand in hand together. And so we can't just throw the med kit at them because they might be suffering. Maybe they can't bandage themselves up. We need to also learn how to apply some of these things as well, so that together we can help other people, which is really what we're called to do. So, moving on from any questions, by the way, on works of mercy, corporal works of mercy, spiritual works of mercy. Awesome. And again, Kira set up readings and the catechism paragraphs, so you can look up. I believe the full catechism is online too, right?
Yeah, if you Google like the paragraph number, it'll pop up. Yep. I do that all the time.
Just make sure you, when you Google it, don't just take the Google AI response, like click into USCCB, United States Council of Catholic Bishops, and then actually read it. You know. So, okay, so now the loaded term of loaded terms. Next thing that we're going to talk about is social justice. This is where we have to maybe keep an open mind. And social justice is trying to figure out how we can apply all these works of mercy in our society, and make sure that we have, to the best of our ability, equality amongst all people. Because we are all ultimately, children of God, and, we're all in this together. So, this goes along, you don't necessarily have to.
That one's black.
Is it good? Is it bothering you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not OCD at all.
Yep. So there's one other resource that another video I watched that I really liked. Have you heard of Bishop Fulton Sheen? Yeah, he is a rock star. I think he's being beatified or canonized this year?
Beatified.
Thank you. He's being beatified this year, which is awesome. So he's getting that next step on the path of sainthood. He would have been my patron saint if I could have chosen him, but that's okay. I have lots of saints that are hopefully praying for me. So, Bishop Fulton Sheen, if you don't know, had this TV program that would be on every week, and he would talk about different topics that were relevant to society in that day and age, from like the 50s to, I think, 1979 is when he died. And he has one that was called Social Problems, was the topic. It's black and white. It's on YouTube. The whole thing's on YouTube. And he goes into a lot of these things we're talking about in a much better detail. He can actually write in cursive, it's impressive. So if you have time, it's about 30 minutes long. I highly encourage you to go check that out. Again, it's called Social Problems, black and white, with a young Bishop Fulton Sheen with like full regalia. He looks awesome. And if you get into that rabbit hole, it's really awesome. There's a bunch of topics and you can really spend a whole lot of time just learning. So, when it comes to Catholic social teaching, again, this is kind of a surface level look. These topics can go way deeper than we're going to go into today, and you can read more about that, and think about how maybe we can apply some of these things to our lives. So, the first point
is the life and dignity of the human person. And so this is where we need to recognize that other people, including and especially the people we don't like, have dignity as human people and are entitled to life, and that we need to treat them almost as, you know, our same selves, right? And that we're called to love others as we would love ourselves or as God loved us. And so there's one quote that I really liked in the Catechism. I'm not sure if I can find it or if we have time. No, we'll have to skip it. Well, do the readings, you'll see it. About the quote that I really loved, more or less, if I could paraphrase, said that when it comes to enemies or people maybe we don't like, it is, while it is okay to, you know, not like or disregard sinful behavior, but we can hate sin, but we're not supposed to hate our enemies because of the people they are. We're supposed to love our enemies as people. Maybe not love their choices, maybe not love everything that they're doing, but we are commanded to love them as people. And so it's a really great quote in the Catechism that it goes to that effect, but way more eloquently than I can state it. So the second point is we are called to family, community, and participation. So we are not called to be islands unto ourselves. And a quote I like is, a man wrapped up in himself makes for a small package. And we are called to be together like we are tonight. And together in families, in groups and societies. And we can't help each other if we're not around each other. It's one of the terrible losses in today's modern society with social media is that, one, we don't really get to see how people are actually doing, and we don't get that interaction on that day-to-day, the face-to-face. So much of communication is nonverbal, and yet we only see pictures, right? And then, this is one I really like. Next point is rights and responsibilities. As in our own Declaration of Independence and Constitution states, we're all endowed with certain rights by our Creator. But along with rights come responsibilities with those rights. In that, it's not necessarily just my right, my right, my right. It's also my duty with that right, my responsibility to use that right in a responsible way. We have a right to, speak, right, in our freedom of speech, but we should be using that right to speak responsibly and speak the truth, right? And to not use our speech to, purposely hurt others. That's just an example of rights and responsibilities. And then the next bullet point is option for the poor and vulnerable. So this is where we start applying some of these things. There are many people in the world, as well as in our own communities, that are either poor in spirit, poor physically, financially, and are in need. Many times through no fault of their own, and us as children of God, and hopefully as practicing Catholics, that we would make it our business to help others that are suffering or that need help. And that we should try to strive to remove barriers that prevent people from fulfilling themselves and reaching the same goals that we have for ourselves and our families. So the next point we have is the dignity of work and the rights of workers. There's a great Bible verse that I don't know the citation for, but it says that a worker is worth his wages, right? And maybe Kira knows that. So workers, we have rights to work, rights to actually participate in work, and we have rights to work in certain living conditions and situations and to safety. But something else to keep in mind is that while we have the ability to work, we shouldn't be necessarily a slave to our work. Just as Jesus said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. And, the economy was made for us. We were not made to serve the economy. And so while we have these rights to work, again, responsibilities, it's not to worship money or worship the economy, but to use it to our advantage and to be able to advantage and help others. And then solidarity.
Now, there is a whole bunch of paragraphs in the Catechism on solidarity that's really, really great. And solidarity takes many forms, not just saying, oh, well, they're having problems, they're having issues, but to see it as, you know, them, other people being diminished, diminishes me as well. Because we are called to suffer with those who suffer, mourn with those who mourn. And so if someone else is suffering, then because we're all in the same body of Christ, I suffer too. And so we should see that in others, that in, you know, they might be suffering, that hurts me, and maybe one day I might be suffering. So if you always say, well, they need to pick themselves up, and, you know, maybe one day that might be you, and you wouldn't want to hear that from somebody. And so solidarity, one really good quote here says, solidarity is the attitude that leads Christians to share spiritual and material goods and to recognize our interdependence. And then the last point is care for God's creation, in that not only are we all of God's creation, but also the earth, many of the benefits we have in our lives are gifts from God, and that we should care for those things that are trusted to us. We are stewards of creation, and it would be very disrespectful for someone to, you know, build you a beautiful house and then you trash it, right? So there's one other topic I wanted to discuss here that, again, is brought up in the Catechism, which is there are certain inequalities, right? There are, maybe this isn't the best way to phrase it, there are righteous differences. Let's not use inequality. There are righteous differences that cause us to be interdependent on each other. You know, we all have strengths and weaknesses. And someone's strengths might be someone else's weaknesses. And that's a good thing because it causes us to need each other and to rely on each other and to build each other up. If we all had all the strengths, we wouldn't need anything from anyone else. And then where would we be? And so there's a really good couple paragraphs on that, of learning how to depend on each other, to see the strengths and weaknesses in others and try to use that to build each other up. And so that together we can all be efficient in everything instead of being individually deficient. Now, the contrast to that is there are sinful or unrighteous inequalities. And that is when we get perversions of some of these works of mercy, where we have the opposite of mercy can be sometimes pride. There can be works of pride, withholding food that could go to other people, and withholding all of these things from people that need it. That would be considered a sinful inequality. Or seeing someone suffering and actively choosing, saying, I could help them, but I'm going to choose to not do that. That keeps us unequal in a sinful way. Does that make sense? So, this all comes down to, of course, something that embodies all of these, is the parable of the Good Samaritan, which I'm sure most of us have probably heard, the Samaritan on the road, either to Jericho or Jerusalem, I'm not sure which one.
It was reading today, wasn't it? I think it was the gospel reading today.
There you go.
Anybody else watching? I was at Mass, but
okay.
I may have been another day, but I'm pretty sure it was today's reading.
There you go.
Serendipity. Someone asked who is my neighbor. But of course, I'm reading the Gospel of Luke, so it could have been that. But one of the two. I read it sometime this week, yeah. But...
And so, there are this man who is lying in the road, beaten up by robbers. There are people that walk by, people that should have known better, priests and Levites and from the Jews, that because he was a Samaritan, someone that they didn't like, an enemy or an adversary, they decided to pass on by and to not help this person out, when they directly at that moment could have helped them. Fulton Sheen, in his lesson, the social problems video I talked about, he says, I bet that what they probably did is they passed him right by, went into town, and then told some organized charity about it, instead of doing something themselves, right? Now, that's a good thing to do. Like I said, donating good charities is good. But that doesn't absolve us of personal accountability, in that if we can help someone in that moment, that we really should see to it that we do help someone. And so... And then we have, Good Samaritan comes along and then, feeds, clothes, takes them to the inn, and then pays the innkeeper to take care of them. When I come on the way back, if there's more that's needed, I'll make up the difference.
simply out of pure love. He couldn't have benefited himself in any way, just wanting to fulfill these. May have flipped the persons of the Samaritan and the Jew, but you know what I mean. So, any questions on all of this? And good, strong Christian social justice, not social justice as the world sees it. Hopefully you see maybe a distinction without getting too political. Awesome.
I was just thinking, you know, when you were talking about the burying the dead,
mm-hmm.
I always struggle with that one because I hate funerals. I do. I hate funerals. I hate anything with death. And I kept that for a long time. And then I had a friend whose mother had passed away, and I went to the funeral. And it, my thing was I wouldn't look in the casket. Like, that bothered me. But I realized that she needed somebody to stand there with her. And instead of standing there like, okay, yeah, I'm here, like, to look with her and do something that bothered me to help someone else, I got past that. And it was really... like, it gave a grace and a comfort to her at the same time. So God, when we follow that intuition that he's putting into our hearts, it doesn't just bless the person that we're helping, it blesses us too, because it opened up my heart to love like him and, like, get that grace from that too. So sometimes when we do these works, it gives us a benefit. And not in the, look at me, I went and helped at the soup kitchen today, yay! It was like, maybe you talk to someone you would never talk to, or you learn how to do a skill that you didn't know how to do. Like, you will get graces from it, which is really cool.
Yeah, when Senior Moore, who was a pastor here, he was the first pastor, right?
I think so.
Yeah. He died about a year ago, almost now. I had gone to a few daily masses that he was present for. I didn't know him very well, but when he died, they did a 24-hour wake where they had him and the casket open here, and then we had to make sure people would sign up so someone could be with him in the casket, with him at the, you know, present, so he wouldn't be alone for those 24 hours. And along with the, you know, burying the dead, I didn't really know him that well. I've only gone to a couple daily masses with him, and I decided to sign up like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., because I knew no one was going to show up during that time. And the graces I got back from that experience of having 2 straight hours to just pray. Say, you know, I don't really know this man that well, but everybody I know that I like says he was a man of God and he was really great. And maybe I can learn something, you know, from him. And I actually, during that time, I learned and memorized the Apostles' Creed. This was when I was going through RCIA myself. And so, just like Kira was saying, I've gotten a lot of graces from burying the dead, corporal work of mercy. So, I have the catechism here. If you guys want to take a look at it up here. I think we're at 7:15. Are we ready for a break?
Yeah, we're a little early. I have one more thought. Sorry, I'm seeing all the talking, you guys. You're supposed to just, like, interrupt me. Another thing I just thought of when you were talking is, like, the devil will convince you that you can't do these. Like, he'll be like, you know, or like, he convinced me that I couldn't look at someone in a casket, or feeding the hungry is too big of a problem, like, you can't handle that, or, you know, how are you going to encounter the prison, like, the idea of going to prison and going through all the checks, like, it seems daunting, and he'll build that up, and then when you do it, you're like, no, I could do this, I can do these things, and there are ways to do this that are safe and that are available to me. But he will put blocks there so you don't see it. And so that's just another thought.
Okay. No, it's definitely true where you tell ourselves stories or even get deceived into thinking that, you know, these are something for someone else to do, right? We just pass the person on the road, like in the story of the Good Samaritan, instead of saying, well, what can I do in this instance? Remember, the opposite of, you know, a work of mercy is a work of pride. We already have plenty of that in the world. We don't need more works of pride.
Devil likes to keep us busy.
Yeah.
We're way too busy to listen to other people or to be there for them. Or what you said about solidarity, because I know people that they're like, well, I can't go to church because I'm a homie. Like, I don't like to leave my house. I don't need people.
Homie,
I don't need
homie means
there.
Something else to me. But
yeah. But I'm a homebody, so I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want to leave their comfort zone. But it's like, it's not about what you need. It might be about someone who needs you. And when you do that, you're limiting the way God can use you. So that, I think that was a good, maybe I'll send them a recording.
Yeah.
Like, listen to this one spot. That's beautiful. Okay, did anybody have any questions? You went really fast. Yeah.
So how can we go in the world of the body of Christ to practice these on a daily basis?
Well, it's good you said that. We actually have some papers here for our small groups where you guys can actually discuss that together. I don't know if you saw these.
No.
Where it talks about good questions for small groups, about the works of mercy, and you know, what can we do? You guys can brainstorm that together. But generally, the way I take it when it comes to like these corporate works of mercy, how can we take that out with us and do something about it? I like to start small and start local, start close to home, maybe literally at home, with my own kids or with my family, extended family, friends. And what are small things you can do to practice these corporal works of mercy, these spiritual works of mercy? And then as you get good at that, you maybe get a little better, you start reaching out to other people that you encounter, maybe acquaintances, and then eventually even strangers. And that there, it doesn't necessarily always have to be personal. There are corporal works of mercy you can do working with charitable organizations and things, if so, that's something you're more comfortable with. But of course, the worst thing you can do is nothing. So, but yeah, I generally like to start small, start local and close to home.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ask God for ideas.
Yeah.
You guys got to be like, how can I help? He'll be like, oh, let me tell you. Give you all kinds of ideas.
In fact, that reminds me of a funny story where there was a time when I was praying as well for something similar, saying, I want to look for opportunities where I can help other people. And I was maybe 18 at the time. And I was praying, saying, please, God, help me so I can help others and get opportunities that I can recognize and help others. And I think 5 minutes later after that, I was at a gas station. And a woman comes over to me and says, I'm borrowing my friend's car. I don't know how to, open the gas cap for this car, one of those locking ones. Can you please help me? I was like, yes, awesome. This is what I'm talking about, something small. I proceeded to spend the next 10 minutes also not being able to find the latch and ultimately going like, I'm going to try. Sometimes trying is enough. But at least that's when I can say, well, she wasn't suffering alone. But prayer, as always, does work, if you ask. To recognize opportunities. It's not so much that we don't get opportunities. I think it's mostly we don't see the opportunities when they present themselves. Probably because we're busy, we're in our phones, we're in our headphones, or we're going about our own business instead of, like Jesus said, going about our Father's business.
Tilly had a good story about listening. He would say he would walk when he was in Italy, and he would listen to his headphones because he didn't want to be bothered. And he had somebody that was really annoying that wanted to walk with him. And he tried to shook him off, like, okay, that's great, yeah, I'm going to put my headphones in. And the guy would keep talking, he's like, and it taught him how to be patient and listen to others. And that was a good point of view.
Yeah.
Okay, God bless the food. and I'll bring those papers over to your table. Thank you, Josh, for doing that. That was awesome. One of these sheets of papers, and you guys, as you're eating, you can get to each other and talk about the discussion questions and maybe go deeper into this. We won't ask you to share in front of the class.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen.